Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Back Chat. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher and I specialize in yoga for scoliosis. And today we're going to be talking about pain and managing pain. So first of all, if you are watching this live, I would really appreciate it if you could tell me that you can hear me okay. And let me know where you're from. You can use the chat box for this. It always makes it more fun. Now we in the UK here, we are moving into daylight saving time on Sunday. So just bear this in mind. If you'd like to be here live from next week on, the times will change here in the UK. And I know in other parts of the world, this is slightly different. So I just wanted to say that. So again, if you are just joining me, come and say hello. Let me know if you are hearing me okay, because I've got lots of fabulous things planned for you that I want to share with you. And I don't want to kind of carry the saying, I hear you okay from Vancouver. Okay, thank you so much. And I'm asking this because it has happened before that my microphone wasn't working. And this was a topic, the topic of pain was something that I covered a few weeks back. And I did have some technical issues. And also it was something that I thought we could kind of go into a little bit deeper. And it's something that so many of you always ask about. And I asked in the Yoga for Scoliosis community on Facebook as well. I asked you the question about where in your body can you feel the pain? And what do you do about this? Because I fear, and there are over 4,000 people in this group. So if you are not, if you haven't joined it yet, make sure that you do join it, because there is always so much good advice. And obviously I can only share what I know, but I know that so many of you have got so much experience as well. And you might want to share what you have learned over the years. So that's really important to me, this kind of community aspect. So make sure you join this. Good. So Liz is saying she's in Yorkshire and she can hear me. Fantastic. Hi, Joe. Joe and I had a session, a one-to-one session this week as well. So she's saying hello. Excellent. So let me know. And I will talk a little bit more about understanding pain, because I think that's quite important. And I am learning about a little bit more about the brain and neurology at the moment, which is super, super interesting. And I think that's really important to understand, but I do want to make it really practical as well, so that you've got something real kind of tangible to take away from this today and have some really good options of what you can do. So first of all, those of you who are here, you might want to let us know, first of all, where you usually feel the pain. And so it's basically the same thing I asked in the Facebook group. Where do you feel the pain? And then what are kind of your go-to things to do? So this was also something that came up in another session that I had this week with someone one-on-one, and she was asking me, I feel this pain in my ribs, or in this particular part of my body. Is this normal? So I think I feel with a scoliosis, there is definitely a pattern, or there's definitely pain that comes up quite a lot. And I find that seems to be more on the convex side of your curvature, kind of a space in between the shoulder blades or underneath the shoulder blade is another area which always comes up. but it's still very individual. So don't feel like if nobody else has this type of pain, that it's not valid, right? Pain is a way of the body to communicate with you. So that's very important. And pain can be super useful, right? We do, let's welcome pain. It's a good thing, right? Because it gives us information and it gives us some things to, it gives us input, things that we can do. And we need to know when things are hot so that we cannot get burned, right? So it is very important to be able to feel pain. So it's kind of changing our relationship to the term pain, maybe a little bit as well, that it's not always a bad thing. But obviously, when it becomes a problem is when it becomes chronic, and when it's something that doesn't go away. So obviously, at this point, I do need to say that I am not a doctor. I am a yoga teacher, so I share with you again what I know and what I have experienced, what works with my clients, and what I have learned in research and all the different courses that I have been taking. But obviously, the first thing to do is speak to your doctor, right? And I cannot say this often enough. Make sure you, if you are worried about a specific type of pain, then make sure that you speak to your doctor about it. And there might be a very simple reason for it. So what I'm talking about here today is scoliosis, because I want to make it relevant to scoliosis. Scoliosis type of pain that can be something like it doesn't really, it comes and goes, but it doesn't really go away, right? It's just something that is nudging, it's there, and it can be quite annoying. And just to give us some things to do, so I'm going to have a little look at the chat here to see who's here. Sareem's saying hello. Marilyn is from Houston, Texas. Good. Right, so Eternal Sunny is watching from Israel. My pain is on my right side and sometimes everywhere on my spine, even hot, cold, electric. Okay, this is some things you have been suggested, I guess. Pain is so bad, the tiniest purse hurts when I'm out. Good. And Nancy saying my pain is on the convex side of left lumbar scoliosis. Please mention your best stretches for this. Good. So Nancy, I'm glad that you're asking this. And it kind of it depends. And again, I think it's really important to understand pain, and I will be going into this in a moment to be able to recommend the best things. But movement in general, here's a little hint, movement in general is a good idea. So do check out some of my practice videos where I do kind of go through some good movements that you can do. And I don't like the word stretch so much nowadays. I prefer release, because really that's what we want to do. We want to release the muscles. And stretching I associate with kind of pulling them further, which is not always helpful. But you might want to check out some of those videos, and there is a playlist for lumbar curves as well. Good. So Coach Emmeline is asking, how do you manage scoliosis during pregnancy? So I am going back to the topic of pain, but this is a really good question. And there is a back chat that I did. There are a few actually I did about pregnancy. So you might want to have a look back at this as well. But obviously the topic of pain might come up in pregnancy as well, right? Good. So Sue is saying my pain is in the right scapular area, the convex side of my curve. So again, we've got the convex side that definitely seems to be a common theme here. So let's go back to this idea that pain is a way of your body communicating with you, and that it might want to tell you something, that something is going on. But then the way in which we experience pain is really, really complex. And it's not an easy thing to we cannot say, you know, this is what happens, and then this is what happens in the brain, and that's how I feel pain. It's a little bit more complex. And there have been many, many studies. We now know that emotions and your mental activity, your thoughts, play a really, really important role in the way that you might experience pain. Meaning, for example, have you ever noticed that if you give something more, if you give the pain more attention, that it kind of becomes amplified, that it becomes bigger? So that would be kind of an example of this. And also, for example, if you expect something to hurt, it might actually hurt even more. So again, there have been lots and lots of studies, really, really interesting studies about this. And there's one study with a mirror box, and where people are, they're not actually having their real hand there, but there is a rubber hand that is there on the table, and it receives input, and their actual hand is somewhere away from the body, and it also receives input. Until the brain associates this rubber hand as being yours, and then what they do is they smash the rubber hand with a big hammer. Even though it's not your hand, you still experience the pain. So really, really interesting about those connections. So that's one of the areas. The other one is the emotional part, and I really recommend this book called Healing Back Pain by John. His name now, John Sarno, I think it is. I need to look this up again. I think it's John Sarno, Healing Back Pain. And this is all about emotions, and you know, that sometimes things can be coming from, there can be different sources of your pain that might have something to do with things that are going on in your life at the moment, you know, going through a difficult time at work, going through a difficult time with your family. So that is just that there's definitely a direct link here with this. Good. Hi, Christina. Christina is saying hello. She's just coming in. Liz is saying her pain is unpredictable. Currently, top of pelvis, at the back, also thighs, calves, and lumbar area. Good. So we can see here that the pain can come up in different parts of the body. As I just said, there can be different reasons. Pain is not always bad. It can be good. What we're talking here is about this chronic pain, which is not really, really useful. It's not like you need to have this pain to be able to avoid something. Even though that is useful, if you experience pain, for example, in a yoga pose, then that means that you need to do something about it. You need to probably do this differently. So let's talk about the somatosensory system, which is the system that is responsible for you being able to experience your body. And soma means body. So how you feel, what you feel in your body. Do you feel hot? Do you feel cold? Feelings of sensations, the feelings of pain, things like that. And we can imagine this as there being lots of receptors in the body, everywhere in the body, and the nerves will carry signals that those receptors receive from the outside world. The nerves carry those signals to the spinal cord, and then from the spinal cord, they get transported into the brain. In the brain, those signals will get interpreted and there will be an output. So for example, you pull your hand away because it feels bad. So pain is one of these things that can be, that is one of those interpretations of the signals that we receive. And there is something called the gate control theory of pain. And I don't know if anyone has heard of this before. So I found that really, really interesting. So it's basically, and it's, again, we're talking about this pathways, receptors, spinal cord, brain, and the gauge control theory of pain, which they came up with in the 1960s originally, but it's still kind of being mentioned. But we're basically imagining gates, little gates, and it's more of a visual image, to be honest. There's not actual gates there, but we're imagining those gates in the spinal cord, and they can either be open and let through those signals and get to the brain, or that they can be closed. So if they are open, and if they are more open, we experience more pain. And if they are closed, then we experience less pain. And one of these, the theories is as well that those inputs, if there are kind of other non-painful inputs at the same time, they can actually close the gate and they can inhibit the pain. So isn't that great? So that means maybe we can control if that gate is open or if it's closed. And there's just, so what I found quite interesting, this exercise, and you might want to do that as well. If you kind of take a piece of paper, and I did this actually today for me, for myself, you take a piece of paper, have two columns, and one is the gate is open and the other one is the gate is closed. And you write down in those columns which kind of things, or what do you notice, what opens your gate, what basically makes you experience pain more. And then in the other column, you write down all the things that close the gate. So what makes you experience the pain less? So for example, for me, opening the gate would be stress. And I mean stress in a negative way here. I know there can be good stress as well, but I mean like overwhelm, feeling of not being enough, not being good enough. I can't manage it all. I know that if I am in the state, I will feel more pain. Another one is having my period, right? Sorry to be very personal, but I know that during this time, I will have more pain generally. I know that when I sit for long periods of time on the floor specifically, and I do a lot of Zoom sessions at the moment with all you guys, obviously, but I know that if I sit for long periods of time in an awkward position, I will have more pain. So that inactivity is another one. So doing kind of, not moving around, that would be another thing that would kind of open my gate and there will be more pain. Now, what is more important is obviously what will close your gate. So what are the things that could inhibit pain? And so another way to kind of to demonstrate this gate control theory of pain, for example, if you get hurt, let's say somebody pinches you, right? Somebody pinches you in the arm. What's the first thing that you do is you slap your hand on it and you rub it. You rub your arm. After telling the person off, obviously, for pinching you. But this is kind of our instinctive way of dealing with pain. So again, what is happening here? There is an input that is not painful that overrides the pain. So that is what's happening. So you rub it and it makes it feel better. So really, really interesting. So we have to think about all those things, obviously, that close the gate. And pressure could be one of them. So a little bit of pressure, applying pressure on the area, could be one of them. For me, it's, so I wrote down, can tell you what I wrote down. I wrote down conscious breathing because I find that very helpful, just breathing and allowing for the body to breathe. And that has got something to do with relaxation. Again, I was mentioning before, what opens my gate is stress. So breathing and relaxation, we know this through the vagus nerve and all of that, it relaxes the body, it relaxes the whole system, and that could make your experience of pain less amplified. So that's what I wrote down. I wrote down a hot bath, so heat in general, and somebody else mentioned heat before, I think. I wrote down movement, yoga. So again, this is something that is quite a common theme. We kind of, and this has been proven in studies, that movement and sometimes doing things, actively doing things, can override some of these pain experiences, the kind of input coming through the spinal cord, through the brain. And that can help to relieve pain as well. I wrote down juggling. And that's because that's something that I started doing this year, just in lockdown. I always found it quite interesting. But again, I told you I'm learning a little bit more about neurology and how the brain works. And I got really, really interested in this. And one of them is obviously the crossing over of the right and the left hemisphere of the brain. So I started juggling. I'm not saying that you should all start juggling now to not have any more pain. But for me, it's something that I can focus on. So again, it's what do you bring your attention to? Is it the pain? Are you focusing on the pain? Or maybe you're focusing on something else that can override the pain. It's also something that is quite, for me, enjoyable, playful, fun. Again, that's more of an emotional approach. So we know that hormones, different hormones, oxytocin, for example, or dopamine, the love hormone, can alter your experience of pain, and you can feel less pain if you feel those positive feelings as well. So that's what I wrote down, and I wrote down talking with my friends. So again, you know, this would be kind of the emotional side of it. So it's just something that I found quite useful. So you might want to try that. So just to repeat, and if you missed my whole spiel about the gate control theory of pain, you might want to go back. But I basically just did I have a piece of paper. I wrote down on one column what opens the gate, and then I wrote down on the other column what closes the gate. So opening the gate would be anything that makes your pain worse or that makes you feel pain. And then the closing the gate would be things that you can do to feel less pain. So let me know, guys, if so far this makes sense. I have some more things that I wanted to share with you, but let's see how everyone is doing right now. And it's just giving yourself a little bit of a little bit more structure rather than thinking about, you know, I have this one go-to thing that I do for pain. That's good. Write it down on the closed gate column, but also think about the things that make the pain worse. And maybe thinking a little bit now with what you know now about thoughts, about emotions, possibly being linked as well, what are maybe, apart from the just the shape of your spine, what are some of the other things that are going on in your life? And sometimes just seeing an image of your spine, and I don't know if anyone can relate to this, can sometimes make it worse. So seeing that there is a curvature of your spine, and this is why most of you are here. Sometimes we then start to make this connection that, oh, because I have this big curve, I must be experiencing pain. And this is what I talked about last time a little bit more, is that there is no direct correlation between the degree of the curvature and the amount of pain that you experience. And Joe and I, Joe is in the chat here as well. We've been talking about this as well this week. So her pain, her curvature might not be very severe, but she does experience a lot of pain. Equally, I have got people that have a big curvature and that have almost no pain. So there is not always a direct link, and we have to take into consideration the whole of us, meaning the body, emotions, and thoughts. So it goes beyond the physical, absolutely. And this whole, this is why I found this this exercise quite useful to do, because it kind of gives you the bigger picture, and it gives you a little bit, a few more options. So let's see what everyone else has got to offer here. So tell us what you do for your pain. So what are some of the things that close your gate? What are some of the things? And I just want to share with you as well what I learned today about ice and applying ice, because apparently that's not a good idea. Good. So Jane is saying pain in the right thoracic area. I go to acupuncture massages, also take medical marijuana. Doctors just subscribe all for meds. Yes. So, you know, again, I'm kind of thinking that you are here because you do not want to take lots of painkillers and you want to find some alternative ways of dealing with this. Good. So Akash is saying, if I run or jump or sudden jerk in my body causes my spine adjacent muscles to give out dull ache constantly for 15 days and then they fade out slowly. So that would be an example of what is obviously making your pain worse. So great. So you've got some information. That's always what I would say when somebody tells me they experience pain. I say, fantastic, great. It means that you are alive, first of all. And second of all, it gives you some information. Again, coming back to this idea that pain is a good thing. Your body is communicating with you. So it wants to tell you something. And it might tell you not to do what you're doing. For example, Nancy is saying, my pain is worse when driving for long periods of time. Now, we cannot always avoid doing things. So she might have to go somewhere, obviously. So she cannot say, well, I'm just not going to drive anymore, which is why why we need to fill up our toolbox with things that we can do. So what Nancy could do is after a long, well, first of all, she could look maybe at her positioning and her posture in this when she is driving. So what could she do to have a little bit more support, maybe having some support in her lumbar spine, for example? And then what can she do afterwards to reset? What can she do afterwards to release the body again? Good. Christina is saying tense machine and breathing. Yes, and for me, so I, you know, those of you who have been listening regularly, you know that I talk about this. I did experience quite a lot of pain in my teenage years from scoliosis. So pain has always been kind of a part of my life. And I definitely, tense machine was one of the things that I started early on. But what I wanted to say, because somebody asked about pregnancy as well, is the real test for me was childbirth. So I don't know if, you know, what your thoughts are on this subject, but I'm sharing my experience here. So childbirth was for me the ultimate test of dealing with pain. And I did hypnobirthing, and I don't know if anyone else has got experience with it, because I was quite scared. I was quite scared of giving birth, and I thought, you know, scoliosis probably doesn't make it easier, and maybe it's making my pain worse. So I kind of thought, right, I need to be properly prepared, and I had this kind of instinct that this is something that is happening in my brain very much. So hypnobirthing, for those of you who don't know, but it's a way of hypnotherapy, hypnotherapy that where you basically brainwash yourself, and in a good way. So it's all about like lots of positive affirmations and changing that relationship to birth and seeing it as not something, oh, it's just going to hurt and it's going to be terrible, but it's going to be, you're going to have a baby at the end, right? So there's a positive outcome. Your body is designed to do this. Your body is designed to be able to give birth. And I'm not saying I did not have any pain, but I definitely experienced the power of the thoughts, positive relationship, the breathing. Again, we come back to that, breathing was so important, movement, and all of these things. So what comes up always is movement, always comes up, relaxation, not being in this stress response all the time. So movement, relaxation, then we've got heat always comes up as well. So applying heat can be, again, this is the gate control theory. If you apply a positive input at the same time, it can override those pain receptors, basically. TENS machine. So Elizabeth is asking, what's a TENS machine? So TENS machine is, they're basically little electric things, a little device. That's how, what I remember. Again, I used this during I used it for back pain before and during birth. So you stick them on your body on a particular area where you might be feeling the pain, and you get like a little stimulus. So it's like a little vibration, little signals basically that are supposed to stimulate this area. And it's got something to do with not only, so it's light, it's like light touch. So it's not only for the circulation, which is also helpful. This is why heat is also helpful, so improving circulation. But it also helps to release oxytocin, those hormones that are responsible for happiness, joy, right? And again, coming back to this, this is can be helpful for pain. Okay, so there we go. Christina has got the proper name for it, transcutaneous electrical. Okay. Is that, I think that might be the Spanish version, no? Stimulation, yeah. There we go. You might want to look this up. But that's what it is. So it is really used quite widely. Christina's saying, I tried to find an image. Yes, you can definitely, friend, your Google is your friend there. It would show you. So Akash is saying lying flat on a roll towel in lower back region before going to sleep helps, relieves pain due to sitting long and on in a long day, on a long day. Yes. So absolutely. So that's what I was saying earlier on. I think this resetting is really, really important, and finding those ways that can help you to be a little bit more comfortable before going to sleep. So that was one of the things that I missed out, actually. So we talked about heat, we talked about movement, relaxation, sleep. Sleep is a really important one. So making sure that you get a good amount of sleep, because again, this helps the body to heal and to recover. Good. Right. So, what I wanted to mention about ice, is anyone using ice for pain? So I found that quite interesting. I learned that today on the, don't know if anyone's listening to the Huberman Lab podcast, there was a really interesting episode about pain, which you should definitely check out. And he was saying about how ice is actually not very useful, and we always get told to, when we have an injury, to apply ice because it reduces inflammation, but that's actually not true. So that completely blew my mind. I did not know that. And it's, again, it's kind of been an instinct to apply ice when there is inflammation. And we do this with kids all the time. But he was saying that they have actually found that it's more the placebo effect of applying ice that is working there. So meaning that, well, there's a little bit of this numbing sensation, obviously numbing the pain, that's true, but it doesn't necessarily help inflammation. And actually inflammation is sometimes a good thing because it's the healing response of the body. So I found that quite interesting. I didn't know that. So I'm going to rethink, I think, how I'm going to use ice. And he was actually saying that it can sometimes be, it can have the opposite effect, right? So when we think ice is reducing inflammation, that what happens is that the fascia actually doesn't recover so well. And that afterwards, once the ice is gone, that it can actually be worse. So something to bear in mind. So Marilyn is saying ice helps a lot of times, and I don't want to take it away from you, right? If you feel that it helps, then keep going with it. But scientifically, apparently there is no proof or there's no evidence that this actually reduces inflammation. So actually what you might be better off doing is maybe applying ice, but then applying heat as well. So kind of the opposites of and helping circulation and helping the system with that. Good. And then one of the other things that I, when I did my research about this, found out as well is that red light therapy is another one that can be really useful. I don't know if anyone has heard of it, but it basically mimics sunlight. So the red light from the sun. So you could, a cheaper version would just be to go in the sun in a safe way, obviously, whatever that means for you. Yeah, also something very interesting to consider. So we've got a few things there now. We've got heat, we've got movement, we've got relaxation, breathing, yoga, we've got sleep, and then we've got sunlight as well. Good. So let me know if there's anything else you've got to add, if you've got any questions. Again, I've been talking about the gate control theory of pain and how the pain gets, or the how sensations get interpreted by the body and by the brain, sorry. So they come in through the body to the spinal cord, through the nerves, and then it gets interpreted by the brain as being painful or not painful. So it's finding those things that close the gate for us and that maybe override some of those pain responses. And again, coming back to this idea, is maybe the pain wants to tell you something, right? Maybe this is a useful sensation. Maybe it just means stop doing what you're doing. Do it differently. Good. Thera works for muscle spasms. What is that? There's other things as well you can do. There's creams, obviously, the heat creams and all of that. But again, it comes back to this. You're creating another non-painful input that helps to inhibit those messages being transported to the brain. Good. Lovely, guys. So I'm just looking back. So Elizabeth is asking, does stretching help with pain? Again, I was saying in the beginning, I'm not a big fan of stretching and the term stretching, because we don't want to kind of pull things further apart. If you kind of use it to release. I don't have a problem with it. But sometimes this can be a kind of a confusing message. And sometimes we think that we need to stretch, but it's not actually what we actually need. And sometimes it's, again, how our brain might have interpreted what is going on. And I see this a lot with hypermobile people. Don't know if anyone thinks that they are hypermobile, but if you don't know what that is, then you're probably not. But hyperflexible people, for example, think that they need to stretch certain areas and they think that they are tight, but that's not actually what is happening. And what if you then stretch on top of that, it can actually create more instability, it can actually make it worse. So again, it's something to consider. So Christina saying, when my lower back has spasms, the muscles get very tight, stretching doesn't really work. No, absolutely. I find the gentle somatic, gentle contraction and slow release is what really helps. So Christina, tune in next week. I've got James Knight here from Gentle Somatic Yoga. So that will be right up your street, I'm sure. So he is going to be talking about this concept, and I will be asking him about stretching, definitely. So we will be talking about this a lot more. I'm sure he will go a little bit more into the neuroscience as well about this topic. And I thought today might be quite a good kind of way in, and then we're building up from that next week as well. But I just wanted to tell you that my course, my online practice transformation, is open now for registration, and we start on the 9th of May. So if you want to be part of that, it's a 4 weeks online program, online course. Let me see, I did have a little slide for it here. There we go. You can sign up for that. There's a link in the description below as well. And it's a fabulous way to design your own practice to, and we talk a lot about pain, and we talk about kind of your toolkit for what you can do to deal with pain and how you can tailor your practice as well. So that's open for registration. The first 15 people to sign up will receive a free one-to-one session with me. So if you are thinking of signing up, make sure that you sign up quickly, because then you will be in for the free session as well. Good. Yes, Christina, come back next week for James Knight. You will enjoy this. Good, guys. So thank you so much for listening today. Thank you so much for getting involved, those of you who were here live. Just remember that our clocks change here in the UK on Sunday, so it might mean for you, wherever you are, that this is a different time for you next week, just to make it a little bit more confusing. So just double check the timing for this. Good. Christina Sam saying, I'm still practicing what you taught us in January. Yes, Christina has been part of the course, so fantastic. Excellent. Right, guys. So as always, leave me some comments if you're watching this on the replay. And I'll see you with James Knight from Gentle Somatic Yoga next week. Bye, guys.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.